Job chapter 17, starting from verse 1.
My breath is corrupt, my days are extinct, the graves are ready for me.
If you remember last chapter, Job is continuing, 16th chapter he was talking, and the last word he says, you know, when I go, I may not return. Means, if I die, I don't think I can come back. He doesn't know that God has a plan for his people, and we are not going to die and vanish away. Now here he's saying in this verse, my breath is corrupt. And many other translations we say breath means life. He says, my life is shortened, my life is rotten, and my days are shortened. And he says, graves are ready for me. Not one graves, but graves. What does it mean? The burial ground is waiting for me. These negative thoughts coming to his heart because of all this suffering. And I think he's in this chapter, he's talking to God. God knows already our life, our future, and everything God knows. But he's trying to tell God, because of this sickness, because of this problem, everything is rotten. My breath is rotten, my body is rotten, and I see the shortening, my timing, and I am ready to die and just go to grave. Verse 2.
Are there not mockers with me, and doth not mine eye continue in their provocation?
Now he is talking to God. Don't you see all these mockers and my friends like harassing me and taunting me and giving me problem? I see with my eyes they are provoking me day and night. And he says he doesn't have peace. Only sickness and disease is there. And these people, they are giving him more problems. So he said, I see them in front of my eyes all the time. I cannot get rid of these people. And that's what he's complaining to God. And verse 3, see what he says to God. Verse 3.
Lay down now, put me in a surety with thee. Who is he that will strike hands with me?
He says, you know, Lord, you're the only one can rescue me. There is no friend left. They are not friendly with me. They cannot shake hands with me. They cannot be friendly with me. And so you are the only one I have assurance. You are going to deliver me from their hands. I trust in you that all these trials and troubles I'm going through, you are the only one can rescue me. Now here he's talking about faith. Up to now he's talking about dying and all kinds of miserable things. But now he realized God is the only one can rescue him and protect him, no other man. The word of God said, do not trust any man, do not trust any king. When they die, their thoughts and their ideas vanishes away. But our God is eternal. So trust in God, he will come to rescue you in due time. Verse 4.
For thou hast hid their heart from understanding, therefore shalt thou not exalt them.
Now he is saying, you are the one made these people dull-minded, or made these people, their heart is not working, they don't understand, they don't have wisdom, they are fool. And he said, you made them fool. And now, because of their foolishness, you are not going to exalt them or give them victory. He says, I want them to be defeated, and I should be victorious. So he said, you don't allow them to triumph. You don't allow them to have victory over me. God's children, God's people, they will be always victorious. Because we should not be feeling defeat. Jesus Christ already defeated the enemy. So we have victory because we are the victory side. So anytime the problem comes, don't think that you will be defeated. You will be exalted. So he said, you exalt me, you don't defeat me, defeat them. Verse 5.
He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail.
I don't know if this is a proverb or what, but he is saying, if the friend talks flattery or deceitful language or trying to harass or trying to not to be a good friend, their children will be blinded. Now he says, this is the Proverbs. So what he's trying to say to God, their children should be blinded. And some other translation said, their children will be begging for the bread. When you're blind, you cannot do any kind of job. Now in America, now there are all kinds of training for the blind people. They can be having degree, PhD, and many, many things they can do. But this is talking about 2,000 years of 4,000 years ago. That time they didn't have this device for the blind people. So he's mad. He says, these people are trying to harass me being my friend. So their children should be blinded. Their children should be begging for bread. Verse 6.
He hath made me also a byword of the people, and aforetime I was as a tabret.
Now he said, he means who? God. He said, God, you are the only one made me this way. You gave me sickness. You gave me disease. You made me ugly. I got wrinkles and all kinds of problems. So people looking at me and they mocking me, they are spitting on my face. This is because of you. If you didn't make me like this, these people will be not making fun of me. Verse 7.
Mine eye also is dim by reason of sorrow, and all my members are as a shadow.
Now he says, because of sorrow, and when you cry and cry and cry, your eyes will be dim. He says, I lost my eyesight because of crying. And not only that, when you don't see anything properly, and then you feel helpless. So he said, all my members of my body, they are so weak like a shadow. Shadow has no strength. Shadow is just not a person. So he said, my body, my all organs are so weak and so tired, and so I have no strength left. Verse 8.
Upright men shall be astonished at this, and the innocent shall stir up himself against the hypocrite.
Telling God, you know, if there is a righteous man, upright man, a good man, he will understand my situation. Because what I'm going through, only righteous people will understand. The righteous person is suffering. And if there is any innocent person like me, they will rebuke these people. They will talk to these hypocrites, will be angry at them. So in short, he's saying, God, why don't you be mad with these people? Why don't you take care of them? They are harassing me. I'm a child of God. I'm a righteous man. And I should be not having this problem. That's what he's complaining to God. Verse 9.
The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger.
He's again saying, if the righteous person is making a journey to, you know, walking with God, and he will be successful. Means wherever he's going, whatever the target is, he will do it. But it says, person who has the clean hands, means you're not committing sin, you're not in a sin, and you're doing something good, you will be always stronger and stronger. That means if you're born again, child of God, and you have all kinds of sin you committed, but once you're born again, child of God, every day you're walking with God, you will be stronger and stronger, and you will have victory over sin. So when you are a child of God, you're a righteous man, your walk will be pleasing in the sight of God, and then whatever you do, it'll be prosper. You will have strength, and you will walk strength to strength. So you are not going to be defeated. Now Job is talking good things. He's saying, I'm a righteous man. I'm not going to fail. I'm going to walk with God. My hands are clean, and I am going to be strong. A few minutes ago he said, my breath is bad. My body is corrupted. I'm going to look for the grave. Grave is waiting for me. And so in this chapter, he says, sometimes my mind gets berserk. Sometimes I think good, sometimes I think bad. Okay, verse 10.
But as for you all, do ye return and come now, for I cannot find one wise man among you.
Now he is talking to the people. He said, you know what? Come back to me. You people, maybe I don't know they were going evening time or going. He said, come back to me. I want you to come back and talk to me. But I want you to talk to me like a wise person. I don't see any one of you wise. You are some fool or stupid people. And so, if you want to talk with me, come back, sit with me, and talk like a wise person. So he is trying to blame these people. They are the one troublemaker. They are the one making his life miserable. They are the one do not understand he's a righteous man. And they are thinking he is a wicked sinner. Verse 11.
My days are past. My purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart.
See, he says, my days are past. Means I'm not going to live too long. And my purpose in life is already broken. Means I have no future. I have no idea how I'm going to make it. So he said, not only that, my thoughts changes. What I'm thinking sometimes, he said, I cannot think right. When you have problems, you have headache. Can you think properly? No. When you have headache, you have pain and suffering, you don't think right. So he said, this is what's happening to my heart. My body, I am miserable. And he says, my life is passing by. Means he has no hope that he can live. You know, last chapter, if you remember, he said, I might live for a couple of years or things like that. But now he says, it's everything passing by. Verse 12.
They change the night into day. The light is short because of darkness.
Now he says, my life is changing. Day by day means sometimes I feel good, sometimes I feel bad. But the most of the thing, the light becomes darkness. I do not see any light up there, out of the tunnel. I am thinking I'm still in darkness. I have no future and I cannot see the light. I am really, really miserable living in darkness. Verse 13.
If I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness.
Now he says, if I wait a little longer, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to die, and I'm going to go to grave. That's only I can think. There was a one lady called me, and she said, Pastor Peter, I can only see the coffin. I said, what happened? Oh, my son got into a car accident, the truck, and car is completely total. But somehow they took him out. But I don't think he's going to survive. He's going to die. Whatever I see, a coffin. That means my son is going to die and I'm going to bury him. I say, sister, then why did you call me? If the coffin is the only thing you see, then there is no hope. She said, I don't know you. One lady told me that she's watching, listening to your program, and many miracles are happening. So I just want to tell you, can you pray? I say, sister, I see differently. What I see, that your son going to be completely healed, and he will be coming out of the hospital. He will come to church. He will get saved. He will be baptized. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will be an evangelist. Thank God exactly happened what I said. So the point I'm making, the people are thinking, when they're sick, very sick, what first thing comes in your mind? Death. I'm going to die. That's what it is. So he is afraid. He's saying, only grave is waiting for me, and I'm going to die and go to grave. Only I see darkness, no life, no sunshine. I am doomed. Verse 14.
I have said to corruption, thou art my father, to the worm, thou art my mother and my sister.
Can you imagine what he's thinking? He said, if I said, he's not saying this, but he's thinking. He said, if I say to corruption, corrupt my body, let my body decay, and let the worms eat my body. That's what if I start thinking, then the corruption will be my father. And then the worms who are going to eat my body, they will be my mother and my sister. So this is what the negative think. If I think, what would happen to me? He's just thinking. And then he gets the answer itself. Let's read the verse 15.
And where is now my hope? As for my hope, who shall see it?
Now he says, if I start thinking like this, my corruption is my father, and worms is my mother and my sister, and this is what if I start thinking, then where is my hope? He's thinking, I should have hope. Why am I thinking negative? And if I start thinking like that, where is my hope? And who shall see it? Means, how can I see my future? That means, I have to be thinking, I will see my good days. I am going to get out of these problems. I should have hope. So why am I thinking negative? And then he says, let's read the verse 16.
They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust.
He said, if I start thinking like that, I'm going to end up in hell. And there is no way out because there are bars, prison. I'm not coming out. And he said, I'm not only going, you all will be going with me. So he's saying, don't be smart, telling me I'm a bad person, I'm bad, but you are in the same boat, and you are going to die with me, and we are all going to go to dust. So in short, he's trying to say, don't try to harass me. We are in the same boat. Right now I'm suffering, but if I start thinking negative, that's all thing can happen to you. Okay, let's go to the chapter 18 and verse 1. Job chapter 18, verse 1.
Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, how long will it be ere ye make an end of words? Mark, and afterwards we will speak.
There is another friend, Bildad. This is second time he's talking. Now he says, you know, Job, you talk too much. And you don't understand what you're talking. But he says, what you're thinking you're very smart. And you're thinking we are animals, a cattle, or we are fools. We don't have any brain. We are stupid. That's what you're thinking. Because you think you are smart and we are just an animal. We don't have any brain. That's what you're thinking. But if you stop this foolishness, then we can talk to you. But Job is saying you're stupid, and they're saying you're stupid. So nobody's thinking good about each other. And so this man is a little bit angry, thinking Job is thinking that we are fools, we are animals, we are stupid, and we have no brain. Verse 3.
Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight? He teareth himself in his anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee? And shall the rock be removed out of his place?
He is saying, you are so angry. Do you know some people get angry? They make a lot of noise. They beat on their chest like a gorilla. Some people pull their hair. Some people tear their clothes. Why they do this? They want to other people say, this person is so mad, now he can do something. So he said, you're so mad, you're tearing yourself apart, and you're thinking that earth is going to shake or move away, and the rock, who are strong, they're going to move from their place. What are you thinking? Your anger is frustrating us. But he's saying, it's not going to happen what you think. Verse 5.
Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine.
Now he is telling from this one verse, if you read, he is trying to paint a picture of a wicked man. And he's saying, now you see what happened to the wicked people. He says, the wicked people's light will be gone, means there will be darkness, and even the little bit spark they have, that spark will be put off. Means they will be completely pitch darkness in their life. They cannot shine, and their light will be gone, and little bit spark left, that will be darkness. That's the way it happens to the wicked. And now this person is trying to show the picture of wicked person and how they suffer. Okay, verse 6.
The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him.
Now again he said, this light will be darkened in the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the dwelling place of wicked. He says, when you living in your house, the light will be put off. Not only that, your life will be gone. Not only darkness in the house, you, whatever the life you have, that life will be gone. That's what happened to wicked people. That's what he's trying to say. Verse 7.
The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down.
Now he says, the wicked people, they think they are powerful, they think they are strong, but the time comes, their strength will not work. Their power will not work. And do you know when you are very sick and very weak, what happens? You can hardly take one step. Where you saw some very old people, how they walk. They walk very inch by inch. Why? Because they have no strength. So he said, this is what's going to happen to you, and your strength will go away, and your brain will not work. When our mind, the brain is controlling your speech, and the brain is controlling your walk. So he said, you will be completely senile, or maybe brain damage, and you will not able to walk properly, and your strength will be gone. Verse 8.
For he has cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare.
He says that what wicked people do, they put a trap for somebody else, or dig a ditch for somebody else, and they fall into their own ditch. And they put a trap, or they put a net, and they will be falling in their own net. That's what happened to the wicked people. They think somebody they are going to kill or somebody they are going to destroy, but the destruction comes to them. Okay, verse 9.
The jinn shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him.
So when you are walking and you trap in your trap and your feet is tangled with the trap, then he says it will be easy for the robbers. They can come and rob you, and you will be not able to chase them. You will be not able to do any harm to them. You will be target to the robbers. This is what's happened to the wicked man. He is trying to explain to Job. Verse 10.
The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way.
Now he says not only trap, their own trap, but wherever they go, he says, everything, they go anywhere, they walk anywhere, they travel anywhere, there is a danger. There is a trap for them, just like a police looking for them everywhere, like a 21st century. When you do the crooked things or kill somebody, the news goes to all 50 states and the foreign countries, and they are all of those people are watching Stalikas, trap everywhere, danger everywhere. That person is not safe. So the wicked people, what they do, they don't understand. But we have to tell these people, look at this man is saying, when you are wicked, you will be in danger. Everywhere you go, everywhere you walk, there is no safety for you. Verse 11.
Terrors shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet.
See, the terror will come from every side. And so he will be not able to walk anywhere because they're afraid. Afraid of people. They hear all kinds of rumor that somebody is going to kill you. Somebody is going to destroy you. And so their life is not safe in the house, on the street, or wherever they go. They hear all dangerous, fearful things. Okay, verse 12.
His strength shall be hunger-bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side.
Now, again he says, this person will be so weak and so tired, just like a person doesn't have any food. When you don't have food, you don't have any strength. So he says, all your strength and the power will be gone, just like a man weak and hungry and tired, and she will not have any strength. The destruction will come every side. So you will not have any place to escape So this is a message for the evil people, the people who do some wrong thing. They have to think, now I'm living peacefully, why should I get into this kind of problem? My life will be miserable. And that's why people do not know what to do and they kill themselves. So when you get miserable and you know that people are after you to kill you, then you have no safety anywhere, so your life is in danger. Verse 13.
It shall devour the strength of his skin, even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength.
This is actually taunting Job very well. He says, this kind of people, they get sick, they get weak, they get tired. Not only that, they got the skin disease, skin problem like you have. Now, the Job had said, my skin is now completely black and my wrinkles and boils everywhere and so much problem. So he said, all kinds of these things will happening to you and you will lose not only your skin, you lose the muscles. All the strength, all the muscles and all the body parts will be so weakened, you will not be able to do anything. Not only your skin, but all your muscles, all your strength will be gone. Okay, verse 14.
His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors.
Can you imagine how much fear he's putting? He's saying that persons will be afraid. You can see from his face, when you are afraid, people can see it. He's so scared, he's all the glow will be gone, and you feel dark, you feel miserable, and he says, that will happen to you. And not only that, when the person is joyful and happy and prosperous, the Psalm 1 verse 3 says, that person is like a planted by the riverside, and his leaves will not wither. He will give the fruit on his season, and whatever he does, it will prosper. So you will see the glow on his face, joy and peace. But he says exactly opposite is going to happen to the person who is wicked. His root, he'll be completely dried out. Just like Jesus Christ cursed that fig tree, and it was rotten from the root, and the leaves and everything is gone. He said exactly is going to happen. Your root will be rotten or dried up, and the branches, all the your family members and your children and everybody will be destroyed. Not only you, but your whole family, your household, and everybody will be destroyed. Not only that, he says, not only this is a little fear, but your fear will be like a giant fear. King size. It's a king size bed. He said that your trouble will be king size trouble. And in another translation I read, it says, like they will be making you marching in front of the terrorist king. So miserable life. He says, your life will be so miserable, and your fear and torment will be like a king's side. And you will be tormented in your house, your family, your children, and everybody will be destroyed. And he's telling a little bit further, a little bit more in detail. Verse 15.
It shall dwell in his tabernacle because it is none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation.
Now he says, if that wicked person lives in his house, his house will be destroyed. Not only destroyed, somebody will set the fire to this house, brimstone and fire. And so his house will be destroyed. Do you know the people set the fire to the enemies, the houses? He said that's what's going to happen. If you do some crime, if you live a wicked life, your house will be destroyed. Not only that destroyed, but they will set a fire to your house and everybody from your house will be scattered. And there will be no safety for you and your family. Because one person commits sin, commit crime, there's a whole family suffers. Some person said, okay, I'm going to kill somebody. And what they will do, they will catch me, I go to jail, I'll have a good time and all. But they don't know how much family suffers. Each and every family member suffers because of one person's crookedness or one person's crime. So he said that's what's going to happen. Not only you, your household, not only your root, but your branches, means your family, everybody will suffer. Verse 16.
His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off.
See, the root will be dried up, and the branches will be cut off. That means not only you, but your family members and everyone will be destroyed. Verse 17.
His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the streets.
Can you imagine? He's not finished yet with this wicked man. First of all, he says that wicked man will have so many problems. He will put a trap for somebody. He will be in a trap. The robbers will come and rob him. And his mind will be gone. He will be very weak and will not be able to work. His household will be burned down. His fire will come, and his children and him shall be destroyed. Everything he is trying to make a scare tactic to the Job. Actually, he's saying that's what you are the one he is trying to tell him. Okay, verse 18.
He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world.
Now, he's not finished yet. He's saying this person will be chased out of the light to the darkness. And not only that, he will chase away from this world, means he'll go to hell. He will not live in this world. The wicked person finally will be go to hell. All this tormented. And not only that, he says, when he perishes, nobody will remember his name. Nobody will remember his address. Nobody remember his house, because the house will be burned to ashes. And so there is no memory of this man. I don't care how rich he was, how famous he was, but it can vanish within a second. That's why the word of God says, the money has wings. Today you can be a billionaire, but if you start doing your crooked things, start killing people, but the wicked people, they will be destroyed because time has come. We know the devil is causing all these problems, but what the Bible says, the devil and his followers or his angels will be going to the eternal hellfire. It's already predicted and it's going to happen. We tell somebody, if you do something crime, you will have time in a jail. But people don't understand. This man is saying one after another, what's happened to the wicked people? What happened to the person who is not godly? And what kind of life they live? And what kind of results happen to them and their family? Okay, verse 19.
He shall neither have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings.
See, he's repeating. He's before that he was telling root and branches, and he says, if you don't understand, let me tell you plainly. You do some wicked things, you will die, you will be destroyed, your children will be destroyed. And then he says nephew, means what? Your brother's children will be destroyed. Your relatives will be destroyed. So in short, he says, if you start doing wicked things, then not only you, and not only your children, not only your nephew, not only your brothers, but all your relatives will be destroyed. And somebody said, how come? It happens. Because if somebody is doing a crime, and your girlfriend or your wife purchase a gun for you, and even if he killed somebody, that wife has to go to jail. And the wife says, no, my grandfather, my brother, and my other person gave me money to buy a gun. They got into problem. And so he's saying, not only you, your children, your brother's children, and all your family member will be destroyed. So once somebody does the crime, they have to understand, I am not the only one, but I am making all my family miserable. And my friends, do you know somebody catch somebody? Right away they are going to say, who is he dealing with? How many friends he has? What they do? They go to their house and find out what the weapons they have, what kind of problem they have. They go link to link to link to link to find out all other people who are enrolled. Those people will be arrested or persecuted. So here he's saying, if you live a wicked life, this is what's going to happen to you. Verse 20.
They that come after him shall be astonished at his day, as they that went before were affrighted.
Now here he's saying, if somebody, read the story, somebody wrote a story or made a movie about this, the people who will hear this story about this wicked man, they will be astonished. Wow, I am amazed. What happened to this kind of person? And people will be afraid. Means new generation. They start reading the story about what, Hitler. They're thinking, why, this is a madman. And there was a Idi Amin. You saw him, how he was so much powerful. So God can do some miracles, but if you don't, all the people going to listen to your story, your horrible story, what you did and how many people you destroyed, they will be afraid and they will be thinking, how it happened? How can one man? I have heard the story. Russia, the leaders of Russia killed hundreds and thousands of people. Leaders of China kill hundreds and hundreds of people. Muslim country, Saddam Hussein, killed thousands and thousands of people. And now this Syria's leader, he start killing hundreds and hundreds of people. Then somebody comes and start killing. But the end will be there. And people will notice. The history is written. All these things, people do wicked things and corrupt things, history is written, and some people can listen and get scared. So I don't want to do this kind of thing. And some crazy people say, I want to do exactly that man did. And they want to do the thing. But he says, whatever you do, you're going to suffer the evil things. Okay, verse 21.
Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God.
Now, he's making a last statement. He says, this is what's happened to the unsaved person, the sinners. Their dwelling, their living place, everything will be destroyed. Why? Because they do not know God. If you don't know God, that's the time you do evil things. Godly people will never do anybody harm. So in short, he's saying, if the ungodly person suffers in this world, ungodly people get into trouble in this world, ungodly people, his children suffer, ungodly persons, his nephew suffers, ungodly peoples, all his village and his surrounding things will be suffer. Not only that, there will be no trace of his address, no trace of his street address or his home address. Everything will be burned to ashes. And he says, I want to remind you, surely, he says, such thing can happen, and this thing can happen to wicked people. What this Bildad is trying to say to Job, you are that wicked person. You are that wicked person, and you are the one telling us we are stupid. You are the one telling us we are animals. But let me tell you, this kind of bad thing will not happen to the righteous man. And earlier, if you remember, the Eliphaz was saying, we are the old people. We had a gray hair. We had the knowledge. We did research, just as psychologists. What they do research on human research, how the person is born, and they do. If this kind of person is born and this kind of problem, this kind of background, what he will be developing and what he will be living life. And so they do research on each and every, and then on one person, they do research on thousands and thousands of people. And then one person does in research on some person, other person does research on somebody, and they write a book. And when you're learning psychology, you have to learn the human behavior and things like that. And from that, they make a theory. This is what happened. If somebody does the crime, they will say, oh, because his father died, or his mother died, or he didn't have a good training, and things like that. They will blame on something. Once you are a child of God, everything erases. Whatever happened in the past, happened to your mother, happened to your father, happened to your grandfather, whatever the witchcraft and voodoo they were doing, it will not pass on you. If you are living that kind of life, it will pass on generation. But once you come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to get out of this generation curse. And you wash me with your precious blood. And then what the blood of Jesus Christ washes away all our sins, past sins or curses and everything. And Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, what it says? Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we do not have a curse. And there are some ministers will come and say, oh, you have still family curse, and we are going to redeem you from the curse. So who are you? Jesus Christ already redeemed me. Don't make money on me. We are already redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no curse hanging on us because we are living in freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he said, be not entangled again the yoke of bondage. Once you are free indeed. Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and what? Truth shall set you free. Who is truth? Jesus. Jesus sets you free, then you are free indeed. So the devil should not condemn you, and the devil is what? Accuser of the brethren. So these people are three people coming and accusing the Job. And they are trying to tell him, you are a sinner, you are a wicked man, you're going to die, your skin is already destroyed, your brain will not work, you will not able to walk, you will not able to do anything, your house will be burned down. It's already his houses are burned down. And your house will be burned down, and you will be miserable, and you will never have peace, you will never have joy, because we have studied this. We know what the end will be. And that's why they are scaring Job. And if you have three people coming and talking to you day and night, your brain will not work. You say, wow, they are putting this thing in their mind. Do I have any outlet to get out of this? This is what's happening to Job. So we are in the winning side. Just like Job said, the righteous man's, he gets stronger and stronger every day. And he said, Lord, you put these people against me, and they're trying to destroy me, but let not these people triumph. Give me victory over those people. And we know God has already defeated the enemy, and we are in a victory side. So if somebody tried to scare you, and somebody tried to make you nervous, and somebody tried to defeat you, tell them the devil is already defeated, and I'm not going to be defeated. If you are in the God side, you already go higher. What the Bible says, you will be head only and not the tail. You will be above only and not the beneath. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord, you have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. There are thousands of people out there to pull us down, to make us nervous, to make us miserable, bringing all kinds of devices to destroy us. But we are in winning side. Jesus Christ has destroyed the devil. And your word says, look up, your redemption is coming near. So Jesus Christ is coming soon. Time is very short. We want to go and tell somebody, if you are living a miserable, wicked life, there is hope in Jesus. So don't look at your problems. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Lord Jesus, give us deep down that faith that we are living for Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.